We have the privilege of having a guest speaker with us this morning, and I'd like to make a few connections with those of us. Some of us know of these connections, but some don't. Tom Beachy will be sharing with us this morning, and Tom is the communications director for Rosedale Mennonite Missions. And probably a lot of you know this, but I work for Rosedale Mennonite Missions as well, serve as the treasurer, CFO there. Tom serves as our communications director. And Rosedale Mennonite Missions is the mission arm of the Conservative Mennonite Conference, which is the conference that our church here is a part of. And our church has some historic connections with Rosedale Mennonite Missions. Right down the road here, some of you know this, some of you don't, but there used to be 42 Little College, was a daycare. Just, it's a house on this side of the trailer court, just south of here, and that's where this church began. 42 Little College was a daycare that was run by Rosedale Mennonite Missions, and this church, I don't know, Levi, how many years did this church meet in the living room of that daycare? Several years, I believe. Levi Miller used to work for Rosedale Mennonite Missions and was a part of the congregation very early on. So that's where this church began meeting, and Rosedale Mennonite Missions was a part of the beginning of this church. And many of you know Tom and Candace Mast, who are missionaries serving in Thailand. Tom served as associate pastor here for several years at LCF before their family went to serve in Thailand. So those are some connections for that some of you may not be as aware of that our church does have with Rosedale Mennonite Missions. So with that background, Tom, I'm going to invite you up, and I'd like to have a word of prayer with you, and we'll turn it over to you. All right, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, and Lord, thanks for just the way Rosedale Mennonite Missions was instrumental in helping this church begin, and we thank you for that history, and that we all have a place of connecting now because of your work in the past. And Lord, we thank you for Tom, and pray that you would just speak through him and challenge our hearts and just move in us, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Keith. Morning. Morning. It's good to be here. I was remembering, I think the first time Karen and I came, probably 2 years, well, no, it wasn't 2 years exactly, because we got here halfway through the service. We live in Urbana, and it was just a delightful snowstorm. Can snowstorms be delightful? It was. And we, so the first time we came, we got here halfway through the service, and pretty much missed the worship, and I don't remember. The second time we came, well, then we came again, and we dug out the old bulletin and went off the time that was on the bulletin. And as we came in the door, an usher met us and said, "It's over. You are an hour late. The bulletin said your time's changed from when we came to what it was summer or whatever." So this morning we made sure we were here really on time. And it's so good to be here with you and share with you. It's been a delightful thing working with Keith, and well, I think of my sermons here somewhere. Yeah, it's a joy to work with Keith and to share with him, and also with Todd and Deanne. They work with us at Rosedale Mennonite Missions as well, and it's just been a real blessing to be part of the Conservative Mennonite Conference and Rosedale Mennonite Missions, and it's good to be back with you again. As Keith said, I work as Director of Communications. I have served with CMC in pastoring roles for quite a few years. My home, give you a little history, was in Western New York. Pastored there in our home church for a number of years. It was part of the Conservative Conference. And in 1970, I married Karen Schwarzendruber. She's here with me. She was from Pigeon, Michigan. And in 1990, we moved to Michigan, and I pastored at the Pigeon River Mennonite Church for 16 years. And then 2.5 years plus ago, we came here to Ohio. Never thought we'd live in Ohio, but it's been a blessing, and have sure enjoyed it. Part of my role as Director of Communications is to visit churches just like yours here, to thank you for the gifts that you give to Rosedale Mennonite Missions. Rosedale Mennonite Missions has long-term workers. Tom and Candace are long-term workers in Thailand. We have long-term workers in Thailand, in Bangladesh, in Spain, in Morocco, and in Turkey. We also have a short-term program, which is REACH. And there have been a number of young people from here that have been part of that. And so part of my coming to churches like yours is to thank you. It's always amazing to me that the Conservative Mennonite Conference, as Keith was saying, of which you are a part, there's about 10,000 of us, about 114 churches or so. And those 114 churches and the people in them support Rosedale Mennonite Missions to the tune of almost $2.3 million a year. So part of my coming is to thank you. Thank you for the gifts that come from you. Thank you for supporting missions out there. And I want you to know that we're in partnership with you. We don't do missions in London, Ohio, but you do. And we pray for you. We pray for the congregations out there scattered from Delaware to Northern New York to Phoenix to Florida and everywhere in between. Because you are doing missions here. And I want to encourage you in that. As I said, Karen and I enjoy visiting our churches. Some are small, some are large. Some are in rural settings, some are in urban settings. There are many variations and ways that churches like you are interacting with their communities. I think of one church in Caseville, Michigan. It's a little town of, I don't know, 1,000 people maybe, right on the shores of Lake Huron. And a young guy from Pigeon River, the church I pastored, decided to start a ministry in Caseville with our blessing, and he rented the theater. That was 10 years ago. Now that church is bigger than Pigeon River, from which he came. And all but one family are from the community. How awesome is that? In fact, he has trouble finding mature Christians to help. And he has this great challenge. You know, I think as people come to Christ, sometimes we think they have to get so far along in their journey before they can be used. He has said, I have no choice. Somebody comes to the Lord, we plug them in. You know, when people come to the Lord, they're excited. They can't wait to serve. So there's risks to that. You know, he just had to ask one of his elders to step down because he wouldn't quit smoking pot. How's that? But the guy loved Jesus, and he's on a journey. He's on a journey of healing from all of that. And that's what it's supposed to be. And I encourage you here at LCF, that you're not a holy huddle, that you're out there. One of our missionaries, a missionary couple that was with us for the last 3 months, in fact, they just, they're still here. They gave this illustration of the church and of us in a really powerful way. And they said, we are to be like yeast. Now, where have we heard that before? What are some ways that Jesus or the New Testament talks about us going into the world as what? Talk to me. Yeast is one. That's a clue. Light. You put it on your eggs in the morning. Salt. Salt and light and yeast. I wasn't going here, so I haven't thought through this. Are there others?
Lambs.
Yeah, that's a painful one, maybe. What about seed? You know, you think of the sower. Now, I realize that the sower was talking about the Word of God going out, and sometimes it falls on hard ground and stony ground and rocky ground, but we are seed. We go out. And as I was just thinking about little congregations scattered about, congregations that are attempting to reach their world, and so often we get concerned about us and don't think about why we're really here. I thought of seed in a silo full of dry corn. It can stay there for a long time. If it's dry and the mice and rats aren't in it. But is that really what corn is for? Unless it gets out of the silo and gets planted, or yeast. How does yeast come? Does it come in a bottle or a package or what? I'm not a baker. Talk to me, Karen. Pardon?
Both.
All right. But yeast by itself is what?
Yeast.
But yeast, when it's put in the dough, that's when it makes a difference. And I'm saying that to us as his people. Karen and I live in a little subdivision in Urbana. And we've struggled to know our neighbors. We live in this culture where we all stay kind of behind our own walls, don't we? I like it. I like our walls. They give me safety, and they protect me. But is that what Jesus had in mind for us? And we at Rosedale Mennonite Missions think about this a lot. As we continue to ask, God, what are you calling us to be and do in this world? What was important to you? How are you doing here at LCF? Now, Keith said, I can challenge you a little. How are you doing? Karen and I ask, how are we doing? In our community, we often walk, Karen and I, and we sometimes have our dog on our leash. And you know, I think our dog is a great way to meet our neighbors, because there's dog fights. The neighbor dogs come out, rah, 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 and carry on, and we think we're in the middle of a war, and we meet our neighbors over fighting dogs. But we meet our neighbors. Now, Karen and I need to be challenged to go the next step and say, how are our neighbors? And I encourage you to do the same. How are you doing here at LCF? How am I doing? Jesus said to be light and salt, to be agents of his who mix with and bring Christ like seasoning to our schools and to our work and to our neighborhoods. How are we doing? I remember as a six-year-old living in Western New York, near Buffalo, when Catholic neighbors built a house next to our house. They moved next to us, and my mom was extremely upset. You would have thought, I don't know, who would have moved next door. And rather than see them as people who needed Jesus, Mom feared them and saw them as suspect. They talked rough to their children. They did a lot of hollering and screaming. But my mom, my conservative Mennonite mom, started to realize those people need Jesus. And bless her heart, part of her fear was that these rough neighbors would affect us and our family and our safety. And Mom stepped out of that. She took some huge risks. My mom passed away 4 years ago this week. And so I've been thinking about Mom and thanking the Lord for Mom. And I remembered this story. And she went and made friends with Mrs. Czarnicki. It was risky, it was scary, but bless her heart, she knew Jesus loved them. And she had to too. And they became wonderful friends, and my conservative and shy about witnessing mom ministered to that lady until we moved away. How are you doing? How are we doing? Do you know anybody that doesn't know Jesus? Keith and I, just as part of our communications department, Joel Kurtz was working in our department. And she's quitting work and going to work at a coffee shop in Columbus. Why do you think she is? That's interesting. She's so good at what she was doing. We all loved her there. But she said, Tom, you know the main reason I'm doing this? Because I think God is calling me to work with people that don't know Jesus, not with people who do. Wow. She said, I want to be out there. I want to be a light. I want to be salt. I want to be seasoning. I want to be yeast out there. Who are you going to see this week that needs the seasoning of Jesus? Here in London. Karen and I miss church like you have here. In fact, we've wanted to come and attend. We enjoy the worship. I love when Keith leads worship. I was glad to hear he was this morning. The friendship, the safety, the consistency, the size. And yet, as we came from Michigan to Ohio, it seemed the Lord led us to be part of a little group in Mechanicsburg that meet at the coffee roastery. We knew as RMM workers that we sent Tom and Candace to Thailand to do what? You're part of their going. What did we send them to do? Talk to me. Introduce people to Jesus. But before they did that, they had to learn the language. They had to learn the culture. It was hard. But they are in Thailand to make friends with people, to introduce them to Jesus, and help them start their little church, and then watch it grow. And there were some of us at RMM who thought, you know, if we ask Tom and Candace to do that in Thailand, I wonder if it would work here. It really hasn't yet in Mechanicsburg. We're still just 3.5 couples that meet in a coffee roastery. But we put the sign out, and doors are open. We meet Wednesday nights as well. And we're just believing there's people in Mechanicsburg who don't know Jesus, who might never go into a church, but they might stop into a coffee shop. And there are people you work with who need what you have. So that's what's happening in our little church. In some ways, Mechanicsburg is cross-cultural for us, too. Ohio's different than anywhere we've ever lived. I'm saying that kindly. But Mechanicsburg is a rough little town. It really is. And they need Jesus. We haven't reached too many yet, but we're trying to be a blessing. And one of the blessings, I'll just share a personal story about all of this, is I don't know if you remember from the last time we were here, but our son was struggling with cancer. And about a year and a half ago, he passed away. He was 30 years old. He and his wife lived in Mechanicsburg for 3 months until he passed away. I know you prayed with us about that. Thank you. It's been, as we sang the songs this morning, Keith, you know, about the good and the bad. When the kids are bad, I will praise you. When everything's fine, I will praise you. When our son dies of cancer, I will praise you. But one of the blessings that has come out of this little fellowship that meets is that our son and his wife felt comfortable to come and be part of that little fellowship. The cancer had disfigured Brian, and he probably wouldn't have gone anywhere else. But he came back to Jesus. And last Sunday, his wife did too. Who is God calling us to touch? As we sang this morning, I got a sense of the heart of God for the lost. God desires that none perish. What about me? What's my desire? What's your desire? And this morning, as I was thinking about what to share, as I thought of Brian and his life, of his 30 years as compared to eternity, forever, we think about the importance of time. The Lord may not come back for a long time, but all those who don't know Christ will perish. For Brian, it was 30 years. For the 1.8 billion Muslims, do I care? Keith and I and the rest of the RMM staff visited the Noor Center, the Noor Islamic Center, on Friday, 2 days ago, on the west edge of Columbus. And we heard there, they tried to explain Islam to us. And then we worshiped with them. The ladies went upstairs and worshiped. They could see through glass into where all the men were on the floor worshiping. And we heard their prayers and the call to prayer and the sermon. The sermon was, I don't know, tough to follow. It was maybe 1/4 English and 3/4 Arabic. Or was it all English, Keith? I couldn't tell. But anyways, Karen and I left there with just grieving hearts. We weren't put off by them. We didn't dislike them, but we felt such a burden for this 1.8 billion Muslims that don't know Jesus. And whether Jesus comes back in 1,000 years or 10, when they die, they will die not knowing the truth that we sang about. About 2 billion in the world have never heard. They have no choice. 45,000 every day
16.4 million a year die without knowing Jesus. Turn to John chapter 4. Keith, I didn't even look when I started. Ring a bell when it's time for me to be done, okay? Do you do that to guest speakers here? I had one Lutheran pastor that I preached for. John chapter 4, he just told me, when the time's up, the floor opens up and you're gone. he said, we put you right in the baptistry. This is when Jesus is with the Samaritan woman, okay? It's a wonderful story, and we're not going to read the whole thing. But it's a story in which Jesus talks about timing. And in verse 34, he has told this woman about her life. She went into town and told her neighbors, the Samaritans, I've met a man who told me everything I've done. She ran into town, and then in verse 34, the disciples came back and they were confused about him eating. He said, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Is that a verse that applies to you and I as well? We, you see, are to emulate Jesus. We are to imitate him, it says in Philippians chapter 2. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. God is doing a fantastic harvest in our world today. There are more Christians alive than have ever existed in all of eternity before. We are about keeping up with population growth. We're not gaining much. The percentages are very close to the same as they were, say, in 1900. But that means there are billions and billions of Christians that weren't here before. Now turn to John chapter 9. Some more words of Jesus. This is when Jesus was healing the man born blind, and it's a long treatise again, and it's a great story to read. But as he went along, chapter 9 of John, verse 1, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. And then this is the verse I want you to catch. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Do you notice the pronouns there? We must do the work of him who sent me. Jesus didn't say, I must do the work. He said, we. And it's very clear in the New Testament that we have been called to walk alongside of Christ in his power and in his strength and affect our world. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. How are we doing? As I thought of all this and realized God has called us to minister, I guess realized again how short the time might be for some. For Jesus, there was a keen sense of timing. Of course, he knew when his life would end. I don't. We don't. That makes it maybe even more critical for us to not miss an opportunity to give. Paul says, owe no man except the debt of love. God loved us, and now we love others. Paul also in 2 Corinthians 2 said that now is the time of the Lord's favor. Now is the time of salvation. Now is all we have. And in 1 Corinthians 7, the time is short. The present world is passing away. We need to think about time. What has God called you to do and be? I think the last time I was here, I told the story about when I went to a little coffee shop. You remember that story? Anybody remember it? Keith probably does. I was attending Elam Bible Institute in Western New York. And I was taking a missions course. And this day I went to a little coffee shop for lunch, sat up at the counter, and a little lady sat beside me. Do you remember the story? And she wanted to talk, and I didn't want to talk. I wanted to read my book on missions. And she wanted to talk, and I didn't want to talk. And I was annoyed. And she was persistent. Finally, I had to close my book, and I listened to her story. And I got a sense that God was calling me to tell her about Jesus. And I didn't do it. Who is God calling you to touch? Who is God calling you to reach? I still pray for that little lady. I went back days and days and never saw her again. But I didn't share. I had the medicine that would have healed her life. Her husband had died. She had gone to the cemetery for 2 years every day. She didn't know Jesus. Who is God going to lead you to this week? Who does God want to touch through you and I? Peter in 1 Peter 3:8 tells us the Lord is patient, not wanting any to perish. And Jesus in Matthew 24 tells us that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. I don't know when that is. But the word nations means peoples. And until all the peoples have had a chance to hear, it seems, this scripture is saying, until all the people groups, all the languages have the word, have had an opportunity, the end won't come. And we at RMM are working hard as we can as a small mission agency. And we thank you for your help to do that. The time is short. He says, understand the time. However, the Lord is patient. But before he comes, before it all comes to an end, and there will be an end, the gospel will be heard by all. And he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Brothers and sisters, I pray we don't die with huge bank accounts. Karen and I are 61 years old. We just visited our MMA representative. And she was telling us how much money we need. And I struggled with it. I really struggled with it. She's saying we ought to have $300,000 to $400,000 when we retire. And I'm weighing this against this. I'm saying, God, is that right? I'm not giving answers here today. She's maybe exactly right. But I'm not sure I want to die with a whole lot of money. In fact, one neat old friend of mine says, I want my last check to bounce. He says, I want to figure, I pray I can figure it so close that I've given it all away by the time I go home. We at RMM thank you for your part in reaching the nations. You know, we just purchased, well, it's been a couple years now, a nursing home in Columbus. We kind of went backwards. Usually you plan ahead and then purchase. We were praying, Lord, talk to us. We are out of room to train young people. Jesus said, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he'd send forth workers. Didn't he? We've been praying that. And they've been coming, but we are out of room at our training center in Columbus. So we said, Lord, what's your solution? And the Lord, and we believe it is the Lord. This isn't anything about us, but we believe the Lord showed us a nursing home, 34,000 square feet or something, in Columbus. It started out at, $1.5 million. We got it for $450,000, but we hadn't planned for it. And we purchased it. And then the Lord placed 3 acres of woods adjacent to that property in our view. And we believe the Lord supplied that. And then we found a contractor who said it's going to cost about $4.2 million total. Oh, Lord. What have we gotten ourselves into? But we really believe God has called us to this. We have been asking for large gifts. And now we're taking this opportunity. And I'll tell you, I struggle with this. Levi, I could learn from you. It's an opportunity. I do not want in any way you to feel guilt-ridden to give or not give. But I am excited about the possibilities of what God is going to do at that training center right here in Columbus in the years ahead. I believe there's going to be missionaries and young people and old people trained and sent out from that place. So this morning I'm just offering the possibility out there for you. If the Holy Spirit moves in your heart to share or give toward that, praise the Lord. I realize you have a project going right here. Praise the Lord. And I pray God's blessing is on that. The brochure you got this morning was just, the back page gives some of the ways in which you can give if you'd like to. We're looking for 500 people to give $100 a month for 3 years. Pray about it. The info is there. But I pray, whether God leads you to share in that way, whether God leads you to support this project, and I pray you will, that we would be obedient with what God has given us. That we would have the same passion for the lost that Jesus had. And that passion would affect all of our lives, including our checkbooks. I pray God's blessing on you here at LCF. May you walk in his light. May you be his light. And thanks for letting me share this morning about missions, about what God is doing through Rosedale Mennonite Missions and the training center that's right now being renovated. We visited it a couple days ago, and some amazing challenges are there yet, but some amazing changes have already happened. How many of you have visited it? Anybody? Some of you? Yeah, terrific. Terrific. Visit again. Let's pray together. Lord, we're grateful that you love the world, that you love us. And Lord, we know that you were so passionate, you cared so much that you came and lived among us, and you were crucified. And because of your blood, we can know you forever. God, give us a passion for those around us who don't know you. Lord, I thank you for the work of this church, this congregation in touching this community. Oh, God, bless them. Bless them. Give them courage. Give them faith to take a risk, to step out. And Lord, for us at Rosedale Mennonite Missions, a mission agency owned by this church and 114 others, Lord, give us courage to keep following you. Lord, we pray your blessing on the Rosedale International Center, the new training center. Lord, be glorified, we pray. May we now walk in your light. May we be yeast. May we be salt to the people we meet. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for allowing me to share today. God bless you.